My dearly beloved in Christ, today on the Feast of All Saints, we read for the epistle a wonderful account of a vision of St. John of heaven. And he saw various individuals, the four living creatures who would be the four evangelists, the elders about the throne, the prophets, etc. And he talks about 12,000 sealed from every tribe of the children of Israel. And then he says, and after this, I saw a great multitude, which no man could number out of every nation under heaven. Imagine the saints of God, thousands upon thousands of saints, and saints from every walk of life, fathers and mothers, boys and girls, young men and old men, young women and old women, every type of daily duty, every type of career or work, all these saints worshiping God forever. And we sometimes can think about the saints and say to ourselves, oh, I could never be a saint. But on the other hand, we are all called to be saints, and we all can and must become saints. We are, after all, members of the communion of saints, members of the church militant, closely connected with the members of the church suffering in purgatory and the church triumphant in heaven. And we indeed are destined to a throne in heaven. So let us never say, I cannot become a saint. First of all, what is a saint? A saint is one who is living habitually in the state of sanctifying grace, faithful to the commandments of God, and striving to grow in holiness. Because as our Lord said, be ye perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we all know that that is a lifelong journey. It is a lifelong labor to strive to become better and better. But if we are doing that, we are living in the state of sanctifying grace, conscientious about doing the will of God, we are deserving of the title saint, even in this life. Listen to this introduction of the epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians, which is similar to all of his epistles. He uses this terminology often. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus that are at Philippi. Now, he wasn't talking to the saints about the saints in heaven. He was writing to the Christians in this town of Philippi, and he refers to them as the saints at Philippi. So we are to strive for holiness, we are to strive for sanctity, and we can become holy with the grace of God and our own cooperation with that grace. So let us not say then, I cannot become a saint. We may not ever become great saints. We read about the lives of some of the saints who were so extraordinarily mortified and penitential and who were so virtuous that God blessed their lives with miracles as a testimony to others how pleased he was with their lives. But this does not mean, just because we find ourselves so far short of these great saints, this does not mean that we cannot become saints. And indeed, we ought to be striving for sanctity every day. So let us aspire to that. How do we honor the saints? We read about their lives, we learn about them, we pray to them for their intercession, but especially strive to imitate their virtues. It is a wonderful thing to read books on the saints, to learn about them. And you can, when you read their lives, you can see, well, I could imitate this, I could do that, to strive to become like them. I recently read about one saint who was an extraordinary saint, worked miracles, and yet the author pointed out how she had two very human defects. And they were not matters of moral defect, but rather of, you might say, human nature. And I enjoyed reading that because it helped me to realize, well, the saints were human too. They also had their times of discouragement. Remember St. John Marie Vianney, how he wanted to leave Ars, he wanted to run away? He said, I need to spend time on my own soul. He was spending so many hours in the confessional, etc. And the saints had their times of discouragement. There's an interesting book by Archbishop Goodyear called Saints for Sinners. And I always wondered, what does that mean, Saints for Sinners, until I read the book. And it is a biography or a collection of biographies of 8 or 10 saints who in their own lives, in their own lifetime, thought they were failures. One of them that I recall, because I read that book quite a few years ago, was St. Francis Xavier. Now, St. Francis Xavier baptized over 1 million pagans. So you think to yourself, how could he possibly maintain humility? How could he possibly realize or not realize that he was such a great saint? And yet, one of his main goals for the 10 years that he had in India and the Far East, one of his main goals was to establish a university, to train a native clergy, to train the locals in theology, etc., and so that there would be a native priesthood, especially, and for the promotion of the faith. So he established this university in India, and then he would go off on a mission and be gone for months, and he would come back. And the university, the faculty were fighting among themselves. There were all kinds of problems. And so that university was such a burden on his mind that he felt he was a failure. Because during his lifetime, the university never seemed to prosper as he wanted it to. And as he believed it was necessary for the spread of the faith. And so he was doing all of this good. And yet he thought he was a failure. And so God has his ways of keeping the saints humble. You might say concealing from them even the good that they do. So let us not get discouraged. We all can become saints, maybe not the greatest saints, but we can become holy by cooperating with the grace of God, practicing virtue. And then let's turn our attention for a minute to today's gospel. Today's gospel, taken from the 5th chapter of St. Matthew, is a narration of the beginning of the wonderful Sermon on the Mount, which goes for 3 chapters in St. Matthew's gospel. All of these wonderful counsels of our Lord. But he begins with the 8 Beatitudes. This is a meditation. To read over today's gospel, the 8 Beatitudes, and meditate upon them, understand them, and then try to put them in practice. What are the Beatitudes? They are virtuous practices that are put in a special category because they are a higher practice of virtue than other virtues. And they bring blessedness, beatitude, to the soul of the person who practices them. And we ought to not be content with merely keeping God's commandments. We should also strive for holiness, strive to put into practice in our lives the Beatitudes and all the virtues. So let's go through them briefly. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this is an interesting one because most of the time, blessed are those who suffer persecution, they shall be crowned, etc. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. That it is a future promise. But to those who practice poverty in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, right here and now. They possess in their hearts and souls God's blessing and his grace and peace of heart. So poverty of spirit means that we overcome avarice and greed, and we're all drawn to attachment to material things. And so we must strive to overcome that attachment, that natural covetousness or avarice, so that we practice poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. What a beautiful quality is meekness. Our Lord said, learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart. Meekness is a quality that draws others to oneself, one who practices meekness. Meekness is the opposite of anger. It is calmness in the midst of tremendous adversity. It is a gentleness of spirit. And the meek truly do possess the earth, for they all are their friends. All look up to them, all admire them, all want to be with them because of that beautiful quality of meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. The third beatitude, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And this is puzzling to many because they think, well, aren't we supposed to be cheerful in the service of God? And indeed we are. So what type of mourning is this? We should mourn for sin. We reflect upon the passion of our Lord and on the terrible evil of sin that brought about his passion and death. We reflect upon the terrible evils that are committed in our day. We reflect upon the loss of souls to hell for all eternity. And these are thoughts that cause us to mourn, to weep, to be sad over so much evil. And so those who have this type of mourning are blessed with comfort and with many blessings spiritually. St. Augustine refers to the tears of sorrow shed over one's sins. And he said, these are sweet tears. It is not the misery, the mourning of the world. The mourning of worldlings who lose their possessions or what they want. They're so eager for power and so forth, and then they lose it and they mourn. But that is a mourning that only brings greater misery. Rather, the sorrow of the saints over sin, true contrition for sin, and the sorrow that God is offended is a type of mourning that brings many blessings. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The fourth beatitude, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. We should have a desire that God's will be done, and that is justice. Hunger and thirst for this justice, that God will be honored by all men, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. So that is what we mean by a hunger and thirst for justice, a desire that God's will be done by all men, by all creatures. The fifth beatitude, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And we know our Lord often says that as you forgive, you shall be forgiven. When we practice mercy to others, we imitate God. Because God is merciful. He is all merciful. And so mercy is a wonderful quality. We would like others to be merciful to us. We want to be forgiven. We want to have our sins forgiven. We want others to excuse our faults. Let us also be merciful towards them. As we read with the seven spiritual works of mercy, to forgive all injuries. To forgive all injuries is to practice mercy and to be merciful and forgiving. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then the sixth beatitude, blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. What a beautiful quality is this spiritual cleanliness, purity of soul. Even the countenance of one who practices chastity shines with the grace of God, the presence of God in the soul. And so we ought to yearn for this spiritual cleanliness. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. There's a special closeness between God and those who observe the virtue of chastity, of purity. And the seventh beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. What a wonderful quality when someone is able to bring two persons who are antagonistic towards one another, to bring them together, to bring peace to others. And we have to first begin with peace in our own soul, having peace with others, not harboring a grudge, not harboring dislike of anyone. That is a peacemaker, one who brings about peace because he or she, first of all, has a heart at peace with all men. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And finally, blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We all have something to suffer, but to suffer with a good spirit, to suffer the mockery, the ridicule of the world when we practice our faith, and to offer that up, that is something very pleasing to Almighty God. And of course, we see this in the martyrs. We see it in the lives of the great saints, where they suffered when they didn't deserve to suffer. And yet they did so with a good grace, good spirit, and they offered that suffering, united it with our Lord, and offered it to God. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let us strive to fulfill all of these beatitudes, to put them into practice. And let us strive to become saints, because we truly can become and should be saints, members of the communion of saints, preparing one day to join our fellow members in the kingdom of God in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.